Hello and welcome to the Perfect Formula, brought to you by V2 Sport.
Hiya.
So we come to you after the fourth race of the season, Azerbaijan Grand Prix, the European Grand Prix as it's also known as. Personally, it's one of my favourite races on the calendar. Really enjoyed it last year with all the drama and that. I don't know, what do you think of the track?
You know, it's certainly an interesting one, especially with all the tight corners. It makes it quite fun to watch any attempted overtakes at least.
Yeah, there's quite a few, couple of 90 degree turns at the start, and I also like the fact that part of the track goes through the old city, and it looks very cool, I think, and there's a few blind corners in there too.
It's very narrow as well. I'd be worried about taking my car around them at 50 miles an hour, let alone at 100 and something.
Yeah. Before we go on to the race itself, a couple of incidents happened in qualifying. Firstly, there was the Brendan Hartley, Pierre Gasly incident. Brendan Hartley told to slow down to let his teammate through, was on a fast lap, and intelligently decided to slow down right in the middle of the road, and Gasly did very well to avoid him, I thought.
Yeah, no, certainly was some quick reaction there. Not quite so quick reaction from Hartley himself. Seems like he went a bit brain dead for a moment, to be perfectly honest. He was certainly let down with himself afterwards as well.
Well, I saw Eddie Jordan told Channel 4, because he got asked the question about whether it was down to a lack of experience, and it's just stupidity, and he's it's not like it's his first time in a car. I think anyone who just drives on the road surely knows that braking in the middle of the road and doing that is just it's amateur, it's kids stuff. It's the first thing you'd learn in karting. It's terrible, really. He's got to bounce back from it.
No, certainly. I mean, let's face it, on motorways you've got three lanes, one being the slower lane for if your car is going slower than the speed limit, and you've got two other lanes, one for, you know, the average speed limit and two for people overtaking. Surely, therefore, he would at least assume anyway that he should be in what is the equivalent of the slow lane and to the left of the track, so that he's not in the way of anyone going faster rather than in the middle. You don't stay in the middle lane at, 40 miles an hour on a motorway. Well, some people do, but they tend to get told off rather a lot. But you'd at least think someone who drives for a profession wouldn't do anything so stupid.
You'd think so, but anyway, it happened. And as well in qualifying, the Ferraris were clearly the quickest car with Vettel on pole. However, Raikkonen perhaps could have been on pole. Very unlucky with the final corner. He got caught out. Looked like it was the wind, which was quite a theme over the weekend. But a bit unlucky, Raikkonen ended up qualifying sixth.
Yeah, no, the wind does make the whole occasion a bit more interesting. Especially with some crosswinds that took drivers by surprise. Raikkonen seems to have a habit at the moment of being unlucky. Whether it's in qualifying or in the actual race. So, not all that surprising, I don't think, actually.
No, you're right. He has been unlucky on a fair few occasions. Yeah, shame he couldn't get pole. You do wonder if he's allowed to get pole. Perhaps I'm being too much of a conspiracy theorist there, but I don't know.
Well, he wasn't brought in to win races. He was brought in to protect Vettel's back. And he does a good job at that when he's able to. But yeah, no, he wasn't brought in to win races, and he understands that quite clearly, I believe. It's not like he's as young as he used to be and is in the same sort of prestige anymore that he used to be.
Anyway, moving on to the race itself, the big story was the Red Bulls, Ricardo Verstappen incident. There have been a few smaller incidents earlier in the race, slight contacts, nothing too major. But
well, they certainly could have taken each other off the track several times.
Yeah. but anyway, towards the end of the race, both crashed out, cost the team 22 points, a fourth and a fifth. Brought out the safety car. But in terms of that incident itself, the Ricardo Verstappen incident, who do you think was to blame?
I would say Ricardo. Verstappen did move. He did look like he made at least two moves. So the rule is you can make one move. But in all fairness, he was coming up towards quite a sharp corner. So was it him not trying to defend anymore, but rather get himself in line to get around that corner? which has been proven to be quite tricky. Or was he trying to defend? I would probably lean more towards getting around that corner, because he did slow down at the same time and it looked like he was just trying to make it so that he could get around that corner in the tightest angle possible. Ricciardo didn't react quick enough. You know, he was right up the back end anyway, so he should have been having quicker reactions and trying to slow down if he was getting anywhere near Verstappen, but he didn't show any sign of that, and I think that was a complete misjudgment from a more experienced driver.
I agree. I think Verstappen does make the two moves. They're both very small moves, though, and for me, it's predominantly... I'd say Verstappen has a small role in it, but it's predominantly Ricciardo at fault. Both drivers got a reprimand after the race, so stopped short of a full penalty for them both, which perhaps the right decision, as they've both been cost a load of points anyway. And I think the whole thing begs the question, though: should Red Bull have put team orders on? Should they have been wiser to it earlier in the race after all these other smaller incidents?
Well, the Red Bull team leader did actually come on to the radio partway through the race before the accident, and we heard him speaking to the Channel 4 commentators, and he mentioned that they were still quite happy for them to continue racing each other as long as there was no contact. They had the same policy a few years back with Vettel, and that didn't end well either. When you've got two people that are good racers, they're both good racers, they're both fast and they both want to win and they both have the chance to win, you need to have team orders in place to say, well, you know, we can't afford you to keep destroying each other's cars. I mean, it's not only costly in points, it's costly in money. They're going to have to rebuild both those cars, and that's going to put them behind, you know, for the next race, because they're going to have rebuilt those cars. It's not necessarily the best process. I mean, Mercedes, both Bottas and Hamilton can drive and win, but certainly there is a level of preference towards Hamilton, which is understandable. He's won more championships and he does seem the faster driver, and so therefore he gets preference. If there is the chance of them two competing with each other, Bottas will have to move over. And I think whilst it may not seem fair, Red Bull need to start doing that. They need to see who they think they want to back in terms of the championship, and who they want to back should be the one that gets preference. Now, whether this is a matter of, well, so-and-so did well last race, therefore they get the preferential treatment this race, you know, it depends, but someone does need preference.
I wouldn't go as far as to say they should back one driver and that should be that, but I do think that they should have told Ricciardo to hold station behind Verstappen and and take it by race. I think with Ferrari and Mercedes having a hierarchy, perhaps not as strong as Mercedes, I think Hamilton would argue that they're clear. There's no number one there. Hamilton would certainly argue that way anyway. Red Bull have cost themselves a lot of points, and when you think about Bottas and Raikkonen aren't particularly consistent drivers, and Red Bull have got two better drivers, you would argue, and I think you'd be right to argue that. Red Bull have got a decent chance of winning the Constructors' Championship, I think. I can't see them winning the individual drivers' title, but I could see them winning the Constructors'. But to do so, they need to enforce team orders. It's a sad thing, but it's a necessary evil in F1 for me.
Well, yeah, if they don't have team orders, they're not going to win the Constructors' Championship. It's as simple as that, on the grounds that, you know, if they keep taking each other out, they're not going to get any points. They don't finish a race, they don't get a point. It's as simple as that, and they need to be getting a way to get them both around that track safely.
Yeah, I guess because they're two similar drivers in terms of ability, it makes it very interesting, both Ricciardo and Verstappen. Verstappen's had a bit of a dodgy start to the season, though. He's only picked up 18 points and sits quite a way down the driver's standings.
Yeah, he is quite reckless. I mean, fair enough, this race Ricciardo was the more reckless of the two in terms of making dangerous moves. But Verstappen has proven himself to not be quite so reliable in terms of judgment calls. Perhaps that's a reflection of how young he was when he first came into Red Bull, and he didn't have all that much experience with Formula One itself when he came into Red Bull. It may have been a step up too quickly. I mean, we saw that with Perez a few years ago. He certainly came into that team far too early, and therefore he caused a lot of problems by crashing, by causing crashes, by costing his team in penalties. And I can see Verstappen doing the same. He doesn't have that level of judgment that he needs.
Coming on from the crash, there was obviously the safety car, and behind the safety car there was the Grosjean crash, which seemed quite quite comical, really, to crash behind the safety car. Yeah, just one of those. He was weaving to warm up his tyres and ends up in the wall.
Yeah, it looks like he lost control. There is some talk about it may have been due to the tyres being too slippy. We did see evidence that the tyres were taking far too long to warm up, and they were losing grip much quicker than they'd be expected to. I would say that if this is the case, I mean, it wasn't a particularly cold track. I think it was at 16 degrees or so throughout the race. Now, the concern for most Formula One teams would be that they're going to be coming into further into Europe, and they're going to be leaving more hotter climes to come into these parts of Europe, and therefore the track temperatures are going to drop. So how they're going to keep those tyres warm is going to be a problem, because even when they had them in the wrappings, as soon as they came out of those wheel wrappings, they weren't warm. They were cooling down to the temperature of the tarmac quite quickly, and that caused problems. I mean, we saw people coming out of the pits very slowly.
We could go back to Ricciardo Verstappen for one. That was one where Ricciardo came in first, got the undercut, and in normal circumstances you'd expect him to come out in front, but Verstappen, who pitted a lap later or two laps later, came out in front of him, which was weird.
Yeah, he lost time, but Verstappen didn't seem all that much slower in his first lap, which is an interesting one. So maybe he managed to warm up his tyres a bit better. But we certainly saw that Hamilton had trouble getting his tyres up to temperature. Raikkonen had trouble getting his tyres up to temperature. And these are ultra soft tyres. They should warm up very quickly. They degrade very quickly, but they warm up quickly. And they just weren't doing that.
And just another, with Grosjean, he looked like he was going to potentially replace Raikkonen in the Ferrari, the Haas obviously being a bit of a feeder team. He's not had a good season.
No.
You know, obviously in the first race it was through no fault of his own, he retired.
They need to be there to defend Vettel. They're not there to compete with Vettel. So maybe not. It all depends on his attitude that comes across throughout the season, I think.
No, Grosjean hasn't scored a point this season. Following the safety car, Lewis Hamilton went on to win the race. Perhaps a lucky win for him?
Yeah, certainly a lucky win for him. I would argue it's luck that's long overdue. He has had appalling luck for the rest of the season, to be perfectly honest. It's surprising he's managed to top Vettel on the championship scores at the moment. I wasn't expecting that when he finished, but then again, Vettel did finish quite far behind, which is possibly an attribute to that. But no, he certainly had a lucky race. It's not without skill. He did manage to get in some fastest laps on there, and he had a few tricky moments with the wind. He certainly got pushed aside by a sharp crosswind that no one really expected to be coming at some point, and it lost a fastest lap from him because he was doing one at the time. So yeah, he's been lucky, but I think it's long overdue luck, and part of this sport is luck as well as skill.
Of course, yeah. He did say that Hamilton commented on the wind. He said it was almost like driving in a wet race. It was that bad.
Less predictable though.
Yeah, I suppose. I know, coming out a few of the corners, especially in the the one near the castle, he said it was one was pretty
coming
bad.
Out of the shelter of the castle, the crosswind just hit most drivers. I mean, it's caused Raikkonen no end of trouble. He came off quite a few times on that corner, especially in his qualifying laps as well, actually. But I think Vettel had a few problems with that corner as well, along with a few other drivers. So, yeah, it was quite unpredictable.
But yeah, Hamilton certainly got a bit of luck, and it showed really in his general demeanour after the race. I thought his interview with Coulthard immediately after for F1, and on the podium he said he didn't like it when he's seen other drivers fortunately win races and waving fingers, and I'm not sure if that was a reference to Vettel's finger or whatever, but he said he didn't like that, and he was a bit more muted and said that Bottas deserved to win the race, and
Got to agree with him, to be perfectly honest. Bottas was incredibly unlucky.
Yeah, well, he was initially lucky with the safety car. It was similar to Vettel in the opening race of the season. He jumped Vettel because he managed to make a quicker pit stop under the safety car. But then took the lead.
Good driving in defence from Hamilton. He was defending his place from Hamilton quite well, and if not for that stray piece of debris, he probably would have won. Mm-hmm. I don't think Hamilton would have had enough time to catch him and overtake him, considering how close to the end of the race it was.
Mm-hmm. And also, when you consider there was the incident with Vettel immediately after the safety car, where Vettel went for that bold overtake. And it was, when you think about it, it was quite intelligent driving from Bottas to not get involved in that, to slam the brakes and say, fair enough, if you think you can make that corner, you go for it. And he sort of left into it, and Vettel obviously screwed up because he went in with too much speed. But I think it was quick thinking, it was good driving from Bottas, and overall, I think he's had a good season. He had a shaky start, but he's probably been the stronger of the two Mercedes this season.
I think he had probably quite a bit of a dressing down after the first race, to be perfectly honest. He lacked power, and he lacked fighting spirit in that first race, and I think he got a dressing down for it. He got told, you know, this is sort of your last chance, show us you mean it. And he's taken that to heart, probably. He's certainly shown a bit more aggression, and he's shown that he wants to win races rather than, you know, be second best Hamilton, which he always seemed relatively happy to be doing in previous seasons.
Mm. Well, this is two races in a row, because you look at the previous race in Bahrain. Before the safety car, him and Vettel were in that battle, and you know, you could probably argue either way, perhaps Bottas was favourite, but before the safety car, it was him and Vettel, and it was a good scrap. And you know, it's two races in a row where Bottas unlucky not to win. For me, he has been the stronger of the two drivers, and he just needs to prove that, because Toto Wolff has said that he's not making a decision on him until the midway point, till the summer break. So you know, he needs to drive well, or there's plenty of other people who will take that Mercedes seat, I'm sure, as we mentioned in the previous show.
Yeah, no, there's plenty of people to take his position, and I think he's really quite aware of that now. He's certainly showing a fighting spirit, and hopefully he'll continue doing so, because it makes things a bit more interesting. Certainly when you've got two members of the same team fighting it out. Hopefully it won't end up like Ricciardo and Verstappen, though. I don't think it will. I think they're too sensible and mature for that now.
Mm. A general point about Mercedes, though, clearly not as strong a car as the Ferrari, and you know, perhaps similar to the Red Bull, perhaps slightly stronger than the Red Bull, but it's clearly second best, and it's disappointing for Mercedes. They need to up their game.
I'm not sure it's second best. I think the engine probably is the best. I think the whole team management is what's lacking. It seems like their tactical abilities and their abilities to deal with change are not keeping up with the rest of the teams. Certainly, there was moments where Hamilton was trying to get across that his tyres weren't warming up, and he wasn't getting a response. He wasn't getting any help. He wasn't getting a response. I mean, even with Red Bull, when they were having problems with the charging and the tyres, they were getting a response, which is, we can't help you at the moment. You just need to wait it out. But Hamilton didn't seem to be getting any positive feedback at all. And it does seem like Mercedes itself has become quite compliant with their situation, and they've not made any move forward, right, as it were. I mean, it was mentioned in an interview with Toto Wolff that the Mercedes were fastest in their pre-season testing, but that Ferrari have made changes since then, which he thinks may have upped their game. Seems to suggest that Mercedes hasn't made those changes. Which is, you know, they've seen it they're the fastest and decided to stick with it. But you can't have that attitude in racing. It's always a development, and I think they haven't done that.
Yeah, well, you also, I think the Bahrain, the second race of the season, is a very good example, because of you think of Vettel's controlled drive to win it, only making the one pit stop. The Mercedes, and well, everyone thought he was going to make a second pit stop, but Mercedes were far too slow to realise that the Ferrari was not going to make another stop. And had they realised, even a couple of laps earlier with Bottas, because Bottas only finished less than a second behind. Again, that's another example of Mercedes being slow to react. I mean, them and Ferrari both should have thought about the changing tyres with the behind the safety car in China as well. So yeah, they do need to improve on that. And you know, there were questionable calls in the Hamilton and Rosberg era as well. Red Bull are quite clearly the quickest on the ball with them tactics and reacting and the strategy, I think. But yeah.
Yeah. Shame they can't control the drivers.
Yeah. A point on the Mercedes, though. The two Mercedes customer teams, Force India and Williams, who both use the engines, showed improved performance. Williams were like the jokers in the first few races, the first three races. But they showed improved performance, getting both cars... getting points in...
Swapkin didn't get points. He came out. He got crashed out.
Okay. Sorry. 26-30-40. Fuck off. It was certainly an improved performance from Williams with Lance Stroll scoring points, and Sergei Sirotkin, had he not crashed out, perhaps also would have been in the points. Overall, big improvement from the Mercedes customer teams.
Yeah, no, it does seem to suggest the idea that the Mercedes engine is still the fastest. But whether it's a matter of, you know, Mercedes haven't improved, you know, the front wing, or they haven't improved the braking system because they don't seem to be quite so good around the corners. It all depends. Obviously, we can't tell what they're not improving, but something is lagging behind the Ferraris. They did do better this race. I'd probably argue that it would be due to the clean air. With that amount of wind going around, there are plenty of clean air for the engines, and that's probably why the Mercedes engine did better. Possibly a good sign for the European circuit in terms of the fact that they will have cooler air for those engines, and that's going to help them. But then again, you've got the problem with the tyres. So it should be an interesting few races.
Mm-hmm. And Sergio Perez deserves a lot of credit. Also, Mercedes customer team in the Force India, getting a third place in the race, finishing on the podium, including impressively holding off Vettel in the last couple of laps, it has to be said.
Yeah, good, clever racing from Perez. So he's certainly shown growth since those years where he got demoted from McLaren, actually, because of being rash and irresponsible. He's certainly showing growth, and he did have a good race. I mean, he was lucky in the positions. I mean, Vettel dropped down quite a bit, and he had a massive
flat spot
on his tyre, which caused problems. But he certainly started coming back once he managed to get that flat spot a bit more rounded out. And he was challenging Perez, and he managed to hold him off quite well, actually.
Mm-hmm. And finally, I just want to give Fernando Alonso a quick mention. A hugely impressive drive. He drove with two punctures on the opening lap, and ended up finishing seventh, but getting the car to the pit lane with his car in that state was incredibly impressive.
Yeah, it was certainly a show of skill. He's not one to give up. We've seen that with the fact he stayed with McLaren for so long. He does have an impressive driving ability, and if it was a younger, less experienced driver, I think they would have just pulled over and given up with those two flats. But he saw the opportunity to get the car in. I believe there was a safety car at the same time. So he used that time to pit, and he managed to get a new front wing as well as have the two tyres replaced, all the tyres replaced. And also he managed to do a good drive. He got into seventh, even with damage to the undercarriage. Which is pretty impressive.
Hopefully, in an ideal world, Bottas will leave Mercedes at the end of the season, and we'll get Hamilton v Alonso too. That's what I'm hopeful for.
But, I'm sure that'll be a brilliant pairing. I think a Verstappen Hamilton would be a brilliant team.
Yeah, we'll have to see. I think as a serious point, actually, I think Red Bull they're in a very difficult situation because they've clearly not got the car. Ricardo was saying after the Chinese Grand Prix that he was saying that one race win isn't enough to keep him at Red Bull. His contract's going to be up, Red Bull have got to do everything to appease their drivers to make them stay, because they will get offers from other teams and probably the top two teams, and they're in a very difficult situation because they can't they've got to keep their drivers on side and do everything to keep them happy.
In all seriousness, I think a Ricciardo Hamilton team would be exceptional. I think the other teams wouldn't have a chance against them, which is something Ferrari would be thinking about as well. So I think that if Ricciardo's happy to leave and Ferrari no longer have Raikkonen and Mercedes no longer have Bottas, there will certainly be a bidding war between the two of them in order to get Ricciardo.
I'm not sure if Ferrari would want Ricciardo and Vettel together after their season at Red Bull. They didn't really get on then.
Well, the idea is that Vettel is supposedly mellowed. That's the image he's trying to get across. And it depends how much he's fooled the Ferrari team or not.
Anything else from the Azerbaijan Grand Prix that caught your eye, or anything else you want to...
I think Bottas, his incident with the bit of debris on the track. To be perfectly honest, we had seven laps of a safety car at that point. Now, if that piece of debris was actually from the incident which caused the safety car, whether it be the Haas incident or whether it be the Red Bull incident, then that should have been cleaned up. You know, there's no excuse. It's seven laps of a safety car. That should have been cleaned up. If it's from an incident later on, it's unfortunate. But there was two pieces of debris. Bottas ran over one of them. I think trying to avoid two pieces of debris at that speed would have been next to impossible. It's incredibly unfortunate. And perhaps maybe the Azerbaijan team should have been cleaning it up a bit better.
Mm-hmm. Whether it was unlucky or whether it's driver error, maybe, because it was Bottas that hit the debris and not someone else, I'm not sure. He was at the front of the pack though, when you think.
Yeah, and it flew out of the way once he hit it, so.
Yeah. Alright, just a couple of other news stories that have caught my eye since the race that have come out. Firstly, Ross Brawn, who's the technical director of F1, effectively, who decides the rules on the cars, has said that he's intending on changing the cars for next season, and he said he has the approval of the teams, which will make overtaking easier. There's some changing to the brakes and also the front and rear wings, which will the front wing in particular, which will make it easier to follow another car and continue to get the airflow. In this year and last year, the overtaking hasn't been as good in F1. There's not been as many opportunities, so hopefully that'll improve that.
Oh, are they going to be altering the Ferrari car then to stop it from chucking out so much emissions? Because that's certainly going to be clogging up any Mercedes or Red Bull engines that get anywhere near to them. Now, whether this is an idea by Ferrari of trying to slow down their competitors, it may be, because historically that is the case. Historically, they did used to chuck extra fuel out the back end so that they could, you know, choke their competitors' engines if they got too close. So whether that is something that's going to be looked at when they're trying to get it so that these front rings can get more air into the engines, it may be worthwhile looking at.
Formula One are talking about doing a new race in Miami, clearly trying to get to the US audience. It would be probably immediately after the Austin race. Any thoughts on that?
Would be interesting if it's a road race, especially if it's next to the sea, because Miami's known for being quite windy, with sandy beaches. Now, what wind with sand in it is going to do to those engines? That would be quite interesting. Not to mention, it's quite a warm place, so it may favour the Ferraris rather than the Mercedes or the Red Bulls.
In Bahrain, they put a special kind of glue down to keep the sand in place. So they might have to do the same thing there on the Miami beaches.
They might not do that with Miami. Miami's a lot more ecologically friendly. They certainly have a more green idea for how to look after their seafront. I mean, they do have some important marine life. So they may not be able to do that because it may not be ecologically friendly and it may be causing damage to their sea life. I mean, they've got the California sea lions, which are quite the pride of them. And I don't think they would appreciate glue on their beaches.
I think it could be a very good race, though, in terms of Miami as a place. It's probably as good a location in the US, and also for the US audience, I'm sure David Beckham and his pals will all be going to it if it's there. And I think it could be a very good race. I think a night race could be cool, or an evening race.
It would be a good atmosphere. Certainly a good atmosphere. I mean, Miami, you put that in with riches and partying and good food, good wine. Why not add Formula One to it?
Mm-hmm. Well, it's not the first road street, sort of new street circuit they want in a big city. There's all this talk about London, which is looking like, I think it probably will be a reality in a few years' time. And it's clear that they are really trying to, you know, make things good for the fans and trying to get those big audiences. And personally, I'm all for it. I think Azerbaijan is a great example of a well-designed street circuit. I think historically people haven't liked street circuits because you think of, say, Monaco, where there's no overtaking and it's, you know, it's not a very good race. But, you know, I think Singapore's quite a good race because it's such a difficult race, and it's a small mistake and you're out. It's generally a very tough race.
Certainly street races are more challenging and it makes for more fun watching. But also I think the drivers enjoy them more. Certainly compared to, you know, going around in circles on a pre-built track that is designed for those sort of cars, I imagine it gets quite boring. Whereas a street race, there's so much things that can change. There's the challenge, which you get different widths of the track itself. I mean, on a pre-built track, the track is always the same width, really. Mm-hmm. You have to funnel into certain points to get around a corner. But with a street race, you're limited with how wide that road is at that point. You can't make it wider. So therefore you end up with quite narrow bits of track, which it's impressive visually, and also it'll be challenging and interesting for the drivers.
I'd argue there's some very good non-street circuits, proper circuits, if you like Spa or Suzuka or Monza, though. I think there's a...
Yeah, they're certainly more open as well. They're better for watching on. You can see the majority of the track wherever you are, really. I think there's something interesting about seeing buildings whizzing by as you watching the Formula One, I'm afraid.
All right, well, thanks for listening. This is the end of the show. You can follow us at Twitter at V2 Sport Network or at Perfect Formula One. We'll try and start live tweeting during the races and giving our thoughts live. Thanks for listening and goodbye.
Thanks, bye.